Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
A real special program this morning. We're going to talk about the Fairy Godmother Project, which is just a fabulous organization in the area that we're lucky to have. And Andy McConnell is here, and she has brought along with her Kaylee, and we will introduce her shortly and hear her story. Andy, good to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your voice,
a little froggy voice this morning.
Yes, it does. It's pollen or something.
Oh, sure. Yes,
something.
Definitely.
We'll stick with pollen. It has created that. This is the start of Childhood Cancer Month.
It sure is.
And we'll talk about this as we go along. This Heart of Gold project that you have been emphasizing. If you go around to especially in Stafford, a number of schools have gold rocks, and we'll talk about that. But the Fairy Godmother Project itself,
yes.
What is that?
We support families in the community who have children facing pediatric cancer. Our goal is to help the parents. So our whole concept is if we take care of the parents, they can better take care of the children. So we do different things, including house cleaning, lawn care, gas cards, grocery cards, meals, and emotional support. You know, we try and be a friend to the family and help them through this difficult time. And beginning this year, we implemented a new program that will provide additional support to families at end of life and beyond. Our hope is that we can provide compassionate support to them while their child is dying, and then also provide some support if they like it, if they need it for the celebration of life and funeral and that sort of thing, and then also afterward, still being there for the family after the child has passed.
Having experienced this myself as a parent, when your child is diagnosed, there's no way you can get ready for that, and it just hits you, and all of a sudden you're dealing with terms and words and medicines and in a routine that you can never have imagined that you would be in.
Absolutely. And I think one of the reasons why I wanted Kaylee to join us today is because she brings such an interesting perspective as a pediatric patient, but at the age of 18. So it's a little bit different for her. She has a real awareness of what's happening, and so she almost has an insight that parents get. They suddenly are thrust into this world with all these doctors and all these different things, and she certainly provides an interesting perspective.
Kaylee, welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you so much.
You are, Andy mentioned it, that it's as scary as it is for parents to hear that, and especially in your case. In my case, my son doesn't remember a lot of it because he was in second grade. But talk about when you were diagnosed and what you felt.
Well, when I was diagnosed, I was in the summer before my senior year of high school. I mean, you just feel so invincible, and nothing can really touch you. But I had some back pain. Then I got some numb spots. Then we found a tumor in my back. And just that realization really takes a lot out of you. But we were not fortunate enough to find Fairy Godmother Project until the end of my cancer, my first cancer. But when we did, I remember my mom just in tears when she met Andy here saying, this could not have come at a better time. I mean, they cleaned our house, they mow our lawn, they gave my mom free haircuts. I mean, and now with my second cancer, being kind of an adult myself, I'm 18, I have leukemia now. But Andy just comes and sits with me during blood transfusions. She gives me gluten-free snacks. they do so much for my parents, but also as a patient, they do a really nice job bridging that gap when you're an older patient.
And guess, Andy, when I met you this spring for the first time, and we talked about just some of the things that Kaylee was talking about, the mowing of lawns,
yes. The
all of that, cleaning the house, those were things that we struggled with. And we had people that stepped in and saw it. But how did you What got you to the point where you understood some of these needs? Because you've tapped into, and just emotionally have been able to tap into what a lot of the emotions that both patients and parents deal with.
Well, just experiencing, I think when I got into it because I had a friend whose child had cancer mm-hmm. and said she felt really alone during the course of her child's treatment. So that's sort of what got the organization going. And as time goes by and families let me into their home and let me into their lives, what I see kind of fuels me to do more, fuels me to raise more money, fuels me to help more families. Because lots of times people will say to me, I just had a conversation actually with our director of photography, who is Stephanie Johnson, who's a very good friend of mine. And she said, you know, sometimes she worries that I see too much grief and that, you know, what am I doing about that? But we were talking about it, and the reality is I do see a lot of grief, but with grief comes so much love that I probably see more joy and more love than you could ever imagine. I mean, the love that these parents have for these children, especially, you know, I've been spending a great deal of time with Kaylee's family, and it's just amazing, absolutely amazing. And so when you watch it and you observe it, what it's kind of spurred me to do is just do more. Meet those needs as best we possibly can.
And I know that cancer often brings a lot of loss amongst your friends as well. My parents were so fortunate to have a community of people that have been right behind them the whole way through both of my cancers. But I, as a 16-year-old and now as an 18-year-old, you lose people in your life that have yeah. supported you in the past. And Fairy Godmother Project knows that, and so many of the volunteers, I mean, Andy, especially for my family, they bring that love and that support back. And I'm just looking at Andy's face right now. I mean, it's just amazing to be able to experience such a loving group of people so willing to do anything for you.
Yeah. No, that's what, when we started the show, I met Andy through a nurse at Mary Washington Hospital had told me that you should be a guest on the show, and you were here for 5 minutes, and I just thought, where have you been for, you know, since this got started? Because really, and we're hearing from Kaylee this morning, just really firsthand, just the kind of things that and the good things that you're doing and the people that you're helping. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website, FairyGodmotherProject.org. When you were last here, it was right before the community give, and boy, the community really got behind were doing.
Yeah, they really did. We did great. Our goal for the year was I wanted to raise $10,000, and we raised about $22,000. So it was very exciting, and we came in second of all the organizations just behind the Y. So,
and that kind of getting that kind of support, you're able to pick up what you're doing. You know,
yes.
You're able to do more and consistently help people.
Yep, absolutely. And actually, one portion of that day's funds were specifically designated for what we're calling the Lily Fund. When I was here last, I talked to you about Lily,
yeah.
Who passed away in January. And Lily was the feistiest child I think I've ever met, wonderfully feisty. And her family invited me to be really part of their experience as Lily was dying. And so I got to really see what that looks like for a family and the amount of support that's needed and how hard it is on a family and also that love. I mean, that's really kind of what I took away from that.
This is the start of Childhood Cancer Month. We have Andy McConnell with the Fairy Godmother Project here, and Kaylee is here. She is dealing with cancer. We'll continue to talk about her story and the work, the good work of the Fairy Godmother Project, fairygodmotherproject.org. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
This is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. Andy McConnell is here this morning from the Fairy Godmother Project, and she has brought along with her Kaylee, who is dealing with cancer. Kaylee, you mentioned before when we were talking that your first cancer and then your second cancer, which explain how that was diagnosed and found and what you know.
I'll start with my first cancer. My first cancer, there were really no indicators that it was anything present in me. I remember the exact night that my back pain started, but that was the main thing that I experienced. There was no tiredness. There was no fatigue. It just felt like I had pulled a muscle, and my dad would try to massage it out and stuff. Obviously, that didn't work.
Yeah.
But, and so a few months went by, and I went to the doctor a couple times about it. And finally, the last time that I went to the doctor, she said, well, let's get an x-ray. And I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I've got these, like, numb spots on my side. And she goes, how about you go get an x-ray right now? And when we did, there was a grapefruit-sized tumor lodged right between my spine and my fifth rib. And it had metastasized and everything. It was really settled there.
Wow, surprise. Now, as somebody who's – you're a teenager, and so you know what's going on, what were some of your emotions?
I mean, disgust. When your body turns against you, you deal with a lot of mistrust. Like, how did I not know that this was something going on inside me?
That's interesting. I never thought about that. That's a really –
But at the same time, I mean, I knew people had had cancer. I wasn't really afraid of the cancer. I remember the first time being really afraid was when they told me that my treatment was going to take about 8 to 12 months and was probably going to include surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, the whole nine yards.
Wow, because usually it's one or the other.
Yeah, and I did not end up getting surgery. It never really came away from the spine enough for them to be able to treat that with surgery. But I did do a lot of radiation. I did a lot of chemotherapy, and I still have so many like effects from those two treatments today, 2 years later. Really brutal stuff. I mean, it saved my life, but it had its toll.
Yeah.
And actually, my second cancer, AML, type of leukemia, it was caused by one of the drugs that I was on that saved my life the first time,
yeah.
So, I mean, the second that I found out that two of my chemotherapies and also the radiation could cause another cancer, I don't think I ever stopped waiting for the diagnosis. When I did get diagnosed in April of this year, it was almost a relief because finally the dagger had fallen. The other shoe had dropped, and it was, I mean, to say the least, I think I broke one of the paper towel dispensers at a children's hospital after getting the diagnosis. But
did they tell you at some point when you were being treated for the first cancer that this, what they were giving you could possibly cause the AML leukemia?
Sure. I mean, you sign just like 100-page documents. It feels like,
yeah,
you sign so many papers. It's because what they're giving you is poison. I have a friend, she's getting treated for AML as well. She was given arsenic every day for a month. Arsenic. And even though my drugs don't have that same recognizable name, they're the same things. And it's because we just don't have good ways, safe ways to treat cancer yet. And I know that there's so much money getting funneled into that cancer world and like finding the cure, but we're still so far away. We're still, it's almost, in Children's Hospital, we would say it's almost like bleeding people back in the Middle Ages. Like, we know that it's going to hurt us, but we hope that it's going to help us. And you just have to have that perfect body chemistry, I guess, to be able to survive these things.
No, I think whether you're a cancer patient or you're a parent, and you sit there when a person is getting chemo, and you look at those bags, and they have all those cautions, you know, don't dispose in a – because I remember sitting with my son and seeing caution, don't dispose in a landfill. And I think this can't go in a landfill, but it's going into him. And you don't know. And I remember the doctors at MCV telling us, we're not sure, you know, even – 30, 40 years from now, what these drugs might do to internal organs, we just don't know. But we need to do what we're doing to treat the cancer right now.
I mean, I know one of the chemotherapies that I was on had a 1% chance of causing leukemia later on. That wasn't even the chemotherapy that gave me this cancer. It was the other drug that I was on. So when you think about that, that's 1 in 100 people. That's 1 in 100 kids.
Yeah.
That's getting this drug. And it's one of the most effective drugs that they use to treat cancer.
Wow.
One of the most effective. And that, to me, is terrifying. I mean, it saved my life. I am forever grateful to the doctors that worked with me, the nurses who held my hand, and the people who found that these drugs did help with cancer. But we've got to be doing more.
Well, Kaylee, you're just any child that I've ever known, and you're an adult now, but having dealt with this as a teenager, everybody that deals with cancer, you have to grow up really quick.
Oh, yeah.
And you can, in a lot of ways, you can almost tell people who've been through things like you've been through, just because there's just an awareness and there's just a maturity about you that, you do, unfortunately. You grow up pretty quick when you're talking to doctors about drugs. When my son was in second grade, he knew the names of all the drugs and when, you know, how long he'd have to do this or that. And I'm sure that was the case with you too.
Yeah, and I've been really fortunate. This time being 18, I get to have a lot of say in my treatments, especially because with this cancer, being a secondary cancer or a treatment-induced cancer, it's not as straightforward. I've been through 3 different types of chemotherapy, that none of which have worked for this cancer, all of which were incredibly painful. And I do know that if I was, I don't know, an 8-year-old going through a secondary cancer, I mean, you don't know how to advocate for yourself as well. You know the names of your drugs, but you don't know how to advocate for yourself. And I'll be honest with you, this week I decided to stop treatment. I really want to feel good for as long as I can, and the chemotherapies, none of them have touched my cancer, and I am ready to embrace the next step, but I know that an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old, even a 15-year-old, you don't have the language or the understanding of what's going on to be able to make that decision for yourself, or even the legal ability. I mean, parents make all the decisions, and it's one of the most beautiful things to see parents refuse to give up on their child, but and, I mean, I think a lot of people would say that I'm asking my parents to do that for me. I'm asking them to give up. But the way I see it is I'm asking them to really enjoy the time that we have together while we have it. And it's not going to be as special if I'm in a hospital room. I want to be at home. I want to be with my friends. I want to be able to go on a drive around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that's where I am right now.
As you made that decision, it's obviously not one you made lightly, and I'm sure you talked a lot with your parents and family about it.
Yeah. I was not expecting to live this long myself. That's the hard reality is, I've been pretty much expecting to die since the beginning of this cancer. And that's not something that you want to share with people that you love. It's been so hard this week starting that conversation with my parents, my brother, my friends, the people that I love. Like, everybody wants to believe that I'm going to be the one who makes it, or I'm going to be the miracle. But I think my last cancer was my miracle. I had 15% chance of surviving that one. I mean, I've already gotten my miracle, and I think it's really important that we embrace the things that we've been given.
Kayla,
just to be honest with each other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Kayla, it is just it's an honor to have you and to be talking with you this morning. We still have much more to go this morning. Kayla here along with us. Andy McConnell is here with the Fairy Godmother Project. This is the start of Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. More on Town Talk coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Special show this morning. This is the start of Childhood Cancer Month. Andy McConnell from the Fairy Godmother Project here, and she has brought Kaylee in, who you told me you're a James Monroe High School graduate.
That is true.
And if you missed the first part of the show, Kaylee has been dealing with two cancers, was diagnosed with a first, and then treatment for the first brought about a second, and just this week has decided no more treatment. Have the doctors told you how long you have?
They have. One of them has. And I know some of my friends and family don't want to know how long that's going to be, so I'd rather not say.
Okay. I can't imagine what your parents are going through, because I told you during the break, I've known you for a half hour now. A little over a half hour. And as you talked in the last segment about your decision this week, I kept thinking to myself, no, Kaylee, no. You know, let's keep trying.
I cannot imagine what my parents are going through right now. It's something that I talk a lot about with Andy, who's here with us. From a parent's perspective, she gives me the parent's perspective. And I know that as hard as it was to make this decision, this is going to be a good thing for us. And it's all I can do to help my parents understand that. And I know that they're listening to this right now. And my dad's probably, like, got his camera out videotaping his little transistor radio. But they're amazing people. They've been with me through this entire crazy journey. I don't mean the cancer, I mean my life.
Yeah.
So they are going to take this in stride, and I know it's going to be something that they look back on as a beautiful memory at some point. And I hope that by not doing any more treatment, my life is a little bit more vivid.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of times the treatment, especially once you get to where I am, which is the treatments that not most doctors would recommend, things get duller. You can't get out of bed. You can't do this. You can't do that. You don't have the energy to sit up on the couch and watch a movie with your family. And I want to be able to do everything that I can with them while I still can, and make memories and have fun.
From the time that, from the cancer treatments that you've gone through, when you were diagnosed in high school, you've been able to carry on. And I know cancer treatments are just draining and sapping. And as you've described, you were dealing with chemo and radiation at the same time. However, you also did your first year at UVA. and that's not easy to do. That's not an easy place to get in. That's not an easy place to be staying academically strong. I mean, you're an incredible person.
She really is.
I really appreciate that. But if I'm honest, I had so much help. The disability accommodations at UVA made it possible for me to go to school. They made sure that I knew where the elevators were. They made sure that I was getting notes from other students on the days that I was too foggy to be able to take good notes. Every university needs to have a fully functioning disabilities access center. Like, that needs to happen now.
And not also to recognize that someone can actually have those disabilities post-treatment. I think sometimes that's lost in the shuffle. You know, it's not like a disability that people would consider. I mean, you know, kids that we support and they're going to school and they're having these issues. Not everybody, like, I was a teacher and I remember my friend saying that her son was having memory issues, and I thought, oh, they're just making excuses. Because I had no knowledge. I mean, no one sat me down and said, hey, if you ever have a child that's been through, you know, cancer treatment, these are some of the long-term effects, and this will affect them academically. No one tells a teacher that until they've been kind of immersed in it, and hopefully they're told that. So that's a really important piece of post-treatment that isn't necessarily handled.
Yeah, I did get a lot of sideways looks when I talked about, like, memory issues or not being able to focus. It'd take me 6 hours to read a 10-page paper. I would have to really commit to things in ways that my peers, not all of my peers, had to. And, I remember telling my mom, no, I don't want to go through the Disabilities Access Center, because I wanted to think of myself as just a regular college student who was just doing it like my friends were, and I was healthy, and I was fine. I was done with the cancer. Everything is done. You know, like, you just want out of sight, out of mind.
And there's a stigma with disability.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there's that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, but that was the best decision I ever made. I mean, I didn't get to finish my second semester, but I would have been able to if I hadn't gotten this leukemia. And that's not something that a lot of people can say when they finished their chemotherapy less than 2 months before that they started college. Like,
no, that's just amazing. And in a place like UVA that's so high academically, the fact that you went through high school, you got in there, and you made it, and that in itself. So have you thought about what you want to do? Are there things that you would like to see in the time that you've got left?
Of course. I would really love to see the Rocky Mountains again, which we're going to try to make happen. I can't go on planes with the general public because of recycled air and germs and my immune system being low.
So if anyone listening happens to have a private plane.
Oh, yeah, totally. Private
yes,
jets
that would be nice.
Would be very nice.
Yes, that would be lovely. Fly her family to see the Rocky Mountains.
Even if we just go camp across the country to get over there, I think that we're going to try to make that happen while we can. I get to fly a little, like, four-seater plane at the end of this month because one of my friends is a pilot, and he is certified to teach people how to fly, and that includes, like, letting me take off on the runway and stuff like that. So being a pilot was what I was going to do if my parents didn't make me go to college.
Okay.
I mean, I would have gone to college for something different is what I should say, because I know you do need to go to college to be a pilot, but and most of the things on my list are things like getting to say goodbye in the best way possible, like, whether that means, like, spending an entire day in bed together with one of my best friends and eating sherbet and doing nothing else, like, that's the best way possible. Or whether that means, like, down at the Rappahannock River, sitting by the water, you know, like, there aren't very many specific things that I'm looking for. I'm just excited about not being in the hospital like I was for the whole summer.
You've been all summer. You've been dealing with that.
Yeah, since April. April until August, early August, I guess, I was in the hospital doing my various chemotherapies. They like to keep pediatric patients under really close wraps just because of the high risk that the chemotherapies put you at and stuff.
So when did you get out of the hospital? Just this week?
No. I've been out of the hospital for about a month now, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Oh, so she's been able to go to the Regional Cancer Center for her treatments there, which has been really great.
Oh, my gosh. It's been amazing. I mean, as somebody who went every week at least once up to D.C. through the 95 traffic, getting to get treated 5 minutes from my house is unreal. And it's an amazing facility. Shout out to my nurse, Rebecca, who is one of the most amazing people I've ever met. It's beautiful. I get my own room because I'm a pediatric patient, which is so important, especially when you have little kids that are, like, squirmy and, and like, you know, other people are getting chemotherapy in there with you. So it's nice to have, like, your own room. And so it's... And that's something that Fairy Godmother Project did, was
I was part of a committee.
Yeah, they made sure that they had a private room for pediatric patients.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
Super important.
Yeah, our family said they didn't want them to be, you know, our families, because Kaylee is 18, she's able to go for treatment there. But the younger kids are able to go for blood draws and port flushes and that sort of thing. But being able to give them some privacy is really important. Mm-hmm.
Kaylee, you mentioned when you got the word on the second cancer at Children's Hospital of just being angry and breaking it at the Spencer. I guess as you've gone through this, there has to be moments of anger, of just feeling that, you know, like your body's let you down.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And I think I speak for my family here, like, there is a lot of anger associated with cancer, and anger isn't really what you think of when you think of cancer. You think of cute little kids in the St. Jude's ads and, like, happy people who are living with their cancer, and they're going to be survivors and wear that pink ribbon. And cancer is not delicate or cute or, like, photographable.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. And, you know, I think that's one of the beautiful things about it is you learn so much about yourself. You learn so much about your family. We've never been closer than we are right now. It's horrific, and yet still the beautiful things shine through, and you just, I don't know how to explain it. It sounds bad to say.
Well. I was going to say, yeah, And it's hard sometimes because when you have cancer, and I'm sure you've dealt with this with friends who don't know what to say or start staying away. Mm-hmm. And you just, if you can, don't do that. The family needs you. The person needs you. You're still the same Kaylee that you were when you were right up until the day you were first diagnosed. Same person.
That being said, I have never had a best friend with cancer. I've never had a best friend tell me that they're choosing to die rather than choosing to continue with treatment, whether it would end in the same result or not. I don't know what my friends are going through right now. I don't know what my parents are going through. I don't know what my brother is going through. I just know what I'm going through. And, I mean, we're all survivors in this. Andy is a survivor. She has been more invested in more lives than most people I know. And she's somebody that I think is one of the heroes of our time. It's not something special about her. Like, not to say that you're not an amazing person. There are lots of people who have your energy and your happiness and your compassion, but it's your willingness to be invested in other people's lives that I think really and sets you aside.
Well, I will say thank you, but I think that people like Kaylee and her family make it very simple to be invested. Kaylee and I talked about this the other day, about sort of some guilt that she has because she's grown close to people, and here she's making this choice. And I explained to her that I wouldn't trade the hours that I've spent with her in the last month just so that I didn't feel sad at this point in her journey.
Yeah.
Because the gifts that she's giving every person that she interacts with, I don't think she realizes. I don't think she realizes that my heart is fuller. I'm a better person because I've spent time with her. And like you with the no, 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 I want to spend more time with her, but I understand why she's making this choice. I get it. And I just feel so fortunate that her family's welcomed me into their family and getting to know them.
This is going to be a show that I never forget. And, and Kaylee, you're just, like I said, I mean, you're a remarkable woman for what, all that you've gone through, and just how you're able to just articulate some of your thoughts as you go through this. This is the start of Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. The Fairy Godmother Project was our focus this morning. FairyGodmotherProject.org is where you can find out information. When we come back, I want to talk with you for a couple minutes, Andy, about some projects and some things going on with Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. We've got Andy McConnell here. We have Kaylee Moore on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning with Andy McConnell. She has brought along with her Kaylee, who is a local woman who is dealing with cancer and has made, in the past week or so, some very important decisions. And we'll talk to Kaylee before we get out of here again. Before we go, though, Andy, this is you've got a number of things going on. You've got Heart of Gold this month. And if you – especially around some Stafford schools particularly – you'll see some gold rocks. Explain that.
Well, Fairy Godmother Project teamed with Strong for Dom, a local organization that raises funds for research for neuroblastoma. And they also do something called the Super Fun Day, where they give a child in our community a fun day where they can go and do whatever they want. It's like their pick. And so they have provided that for a couple families in our community recently. I've known the family for quite a few years. Their son passed away a few years ago from neuroblastoma. So when we were looking at, I thought, gosh, we need to get some gold in this community.
Yeah.
I reached out to them because we've worked with them in other ways, and we decided to team up and do as much as we could. So we've gotten some schools on board, numerous businesses. I don't want to name them because I know I'll forget someone and they'll be insulted, but who are going to wear ribbons throughout the month. Both hospitals are going to be wearing ribbons. And then September 15th is Gold Day, and we're asking everyone and anyone in the community to just wear gold and post photos of themselves on our it's called Heart of Gold for Childhood Cancer. You can find that via our Facebook page or Strong for Dom's Facebook page, or it's its own separate Facebook page. And today we're headed to Stafford County is doing a proclamation proclaiming it Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, which is a really exciting thing for our community. And I'll be joined by two families in the community who have lost children to pediatric cancer. So,
well, we talk about Kaylee, you put a face to cancer. And just the horrible thing and how it takes away the vibrant people in our community. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun talking to you this morning. What you're dealing with is not fun at all, but just the way you articulate the struggles and just the honesty that you've had you've had through all of this. I can't say it enough. Just what a remarkable person you are to be able to be going through this and to make the choices. And you said earlier, had you been younger, this would not have been a choice that you could have made. But you're 18 now, and you can make that choice.
Yeah, and had this been my first cancer, if maybe I would have been in the same position of having a choice to continue or not continue treatment. I don't think I could have made it if this had been my first cancer. I think I would have spent my last days pumping chemo and getting radiation, anything that the doctors said would maybe in a million years help me. It's only my, like, luck. And I know that sounds, it's not luck, but, like, I've got friends, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 14-year-olds in the hospital right now doing treatments that nobody should ever have to go through. And I just look at them and I hope that this cancer is their miracle cancer too, just like my first cancer was my miracle cancer. I don't even know how to finish this, but I'm so glad that I was able to make this decision and have a peaceful end to my life rather than one scarred by memories of multicolored drugs and bad side effects.
Boy, and that's such a great way. I've never heard it described that way, but that's what a great way to describe the life of a cancer patient is multicolored drugs and side effects. And I'd read about it. I had known people, but until you actually go through and see that stuff going in, and you know how awful you feel afterwards, it does change your perspective on things. The fighting cancer, there's so many different kinds of cancers. You come in with your type. Everybody has. It's not as though there's just a few cancers we're dealing with. There's just they're all kinds and all types, and it deals with all kinds of people. But boy, you have sure been able to, with grace, describe everything that you've gone through. And you do make a lot of friends when you're in the hospital with a lot of, you know, with other cancer patients. It's you make friendships there for however long you're around, that you've got real friends because you're all going through the same thing.
Yeah, it's been really amazing getting to know two girls in particular, Carly and Gal. But we all three of us have AML, which isn't uncommon. It's a very popular cancer to have. But getting to know them has been the highlight of my second cancer. I am so glad that I've gotten the chance to meet them and get to know them, even if it was through this terrible situation. But, yeah, the friendships are amazing.
And if someone wants to get involved and help Fairy Godmother Project, how can they do that? Because you're dealing with the Kayleys of the world and families and all kinds of people in this area that are dealing with this horrible situation.
They can go to our website, and there's actually a little thing on top that says you can help. And when you click on that, it gives you all different ways you can help, whether it's through volunteering, donations, raising awareness, all different options to get involved.
FairyGodmotherProject.org. You've got a Stardust Ball that's coming up. It's sold out.
Yeah.
So if you want to get involved in future years,
stay tuned.
Get your tickets early. Come.
Absolutely. And actually, Kaylee will be speaking at the event.
Okay. Wow. Kaylee, thank you so much for coming. It would be so easy for someone like you to say, I don't want to talk about this, but you've come in and been open and talked about it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Kaylee, our very special guest, Andy McConnell here also with the Fairy Godmother Project. That is it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.